The Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby, Trudy Irwin, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the music maids and Phil, the charioteers, Yuki, and Bing's special guest, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's new star of the musical Technicolor picture, The Barry Was a Lady, Rags Raglan. And here's Bing Crosby.
Me name is Max Namara. I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play for funerals, we play the marching song. The drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horns, they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy, Tennessee tootles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is Max Namara's band.
Music Hall friends, heading out by shortwave for the battle stations of the United Army. The armies of nations are united by the unfaltering belief that all men should be free men. They're fighting strong, cruel, and desperate enemies who are not united. Each is fighting his own battle. This very moment, one of the enemy is virtually an ally. The men who will eventually win are men united by one cause and one belief. That's why we stick together. That's why we've got to stick together. But getting back to the old Kraft Music Hall,
hey,
we find...
Hey, I'm back.
Not back far enough. Who are you?
You asked me that 14 times already. I'm Yuki.
That's no excuse.
Look, do I make fun of your name?
Do I keep interrupting you?
You know, you're pretty ungrateful.
I am? In what way?
Didn't you just say we have to stick together?
Well, I was talking about the United Nations, not you and me.
Oh. Well, I like to get down to personalities.
Well, when you get down to one you like, hang on to it all. Get it.
Look, all I want to know is, who picks your songs?
I do.
Well, that could be the reason.
For what? What's the matter?
Well, they're wrong. You've been singing too many of those color songs.
Too many color songs?
Sure, like when the blue of the night meets the gold of the day.
Yeah.
White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Deep purple.
Yeah.
Black magic.
Yeah.
Why don't you get off color?
That works won't allow us to get off color. We can't do it. The censors hit us rather.
Look, if you ask me, I got just a song for you.
Who wrote it?
I did.
That figures.
Oh, I'll give him a chance, Bing. Everybody's got to get a start.
Thanks, Trudy. I'll remember you when I get my start.
I'll count up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 and beefsteak. That'll give you enough start to get anywhere.
Now, look, wait a minute. You know, I worked on the song day and night.
What's it called?
Night and Day.
Sounds familiar.
Look, it goes like this.
Let me hear.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun.
Cole Porter wrote that.
You sure?
Positive.
Clever guy, isn't he?
He's a good writer.
Don't be discouraged, Yuki. After all, Cole Porter's one of our finest songwriters, and you're just a novice.
You think so, too? You know, lots of people say I sing like him.
Like Cole Porter?
No, Donald Novice.
You know, I'd like to hear some of your songs, Yuki.
Thanks. If I can use this piano, I'll play some for you.
Now, go easy on that piano over there. It's a very valuable instrument.
So?
There's a little dew on it, too. Sounds as if there was a little bear on it, too.
Quite play, Yuki. Play you've never played before.
I will. You mean good, huh?
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, here's the first big hit I ever wrote. Da 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 da. John Philip Yuki. I bet that'll start them marching.
Toward you.
Yeah. And then I wrote, after the ball is over.
Now, just a minute, Yuki. The man who wrote that song is dead.
I know, and his last words were, Yuki, finish it.
You know, I think you just did, too. For your information, Yuki, after the ball is over was written by Charles K. Harris without any aid whatsoever from you.
Oh, who's going to believe you? And then I wrote, that whole black market got me in its spell. The cops asked where it was, but I won't tell. You like that idea for a song?
It's interesting.
See, it's like I said, you don't know a good tune when you hear one. I bet you don't even like the way I sing. Professional jealousy.
You know, please think of me, you know that song?
One of the best songs I ever wrote.
Well, don't stop me now if you heard it before.
Well, go right ahead.
Please think of me whenever you're lonely. Whenever you're lonely, please think of me while I'm away. I'll dream of you only. I'll dream of you only while I'm away. No other one can make me happy, can make me happy as you, my love. When you feel blue for someone to love you, for someone to love you, please think of me. Thus, friends, please think of me. And here now is another aim at channeling your thoughts. Direct us, sir.
Time marches back. 1927, transatlantic radio telephony is inaugurated, and the first vehicular submarine tunnel under the Hudson River joins Jersey with New York. 1927, Babe Ruth signs a 3-year contract to play with the New York Yankees, and Clara Bow is the top babe in the Pulchritude League. 1927, and in their quiet living rooms, men with their eyes on far horizons are murmuring.
Say, Trudy, how's for going up to the Roseland tonight, now that I learned to dance the Black Bottom?
Harry Lillis?
Hmm?
Where would you learn to dance the Black Bottom? We haven't even been out of this house in weeks, except to go to a movie.
Oh, I took a course. Had it mailed to the office.
Mailed?
Correspondence course.
Well, are you any good at it?
Well, I don't know. So far, I've only danced with the postman.
Well, I'm glad. Ever since you saw Ann Pennington dance, well, you've wanted to do the Black Bottom.
Oh, that's not the reason I took the course.
No?
No, your sister insulted me. She asked me if I knew how to dance.
Well, what's insulting about that?
We was dancing at the time.
Oh. Say, I've been taking a special course, too, Harry, at the high school.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. I'm studying anthropology. That's the history of different races, you know.
That reminds me. You know, I told you that George Souter would cop the 500-mile Indianapolis auto race.
Say, Harry, where do they race to Indianapolis from? I mean, from where do they race to Indianapolis?
Nowhere. The whole thing's right in Indianapolis.
Yeah?
For 500 miles, they just go round and around.
Well, what does the winner get?
Dizzy.
Oh. Lucky me. All I have to do is talk to you.
Yeah.
Hmm? Speaking of races, looks like Columbia's going to cop the Poughkeepsie Regatta this year.
Well, what is the Poughkeepsie Regatta?
Oh, big intercollegiate rowing race.
There's college boys in it?
That's all. Nothing but scholars.
Oh, Harry, that's unnecessary. All I asked about was the Poughkeepsie Regatta.
That's what I'm telling you. Say, you know those rowing races are very interesting phenomena?
In what way?
Well, how often do you get to see 8 hard-boiled eggs in one shell?
Well, the only race I really want to see is the Kentucky Derby.
Horse named Whiskery won the Derby this year.
Say, Harry, after he wins it, what does the horse do with the Derby?
Oh, he keeps his clippings in it.
All right.
Speaking of clippings, you heard that new tune about the souvenirs?
No, which one?
What goes like this here?
There's nothing left for me of days that used to be. I live in memory among my souvenirs. Some letters tied with blue, a photograph or two. I see a rose from you among my souvenirs. A few more tokens left within my treasure chest. And though they do their best to give me consolation, I count them all around, and as the teardrops start, I find a broken heart among my
the hard way, our good friend John Morgan Lee Beauregard Raglan, that's long for Rags Raglan, began his theatrical career in burlesque. After many a mad semester majoring in baggy pants and whacking sundry characters about the noggin with pig bladders, Rags graduated to one of the comedy leads in the smash Broadway musical, Panama Harry. The Messrs. Metro, Golden, and Mayer, they found out how Rags was fracturing the folks in this affair, so they transferred him to Culver City for the movie version of said Mrs. Panama Harry.
Yeah, and don't forget that he finished a Technicolor musical picture, The Barry Was a Lady,
yeah,
where he killed the customers.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to see him in Technicolor.
Oh, I'll bet he's lovely. I'll take it from here, if you don't mind.
Please don't interrupt. And don't forget that Rags Raglan is a genius. He can play any kind of a part.
He's versatile, huh?
No, he's American born.
Oh.
he's just as much at home in a jail as you are in a stable.
That's just... You talk as if you're pretty thick with old Raggedy.
Oh, sure. I knew him when he was in burlesque. His partner was Miss Sunburn.
Miss Sunburn? What did she do?
Peeled.
I see.
I tell you, he's a genius. Ain't you, Mr. Raglan?
Yep.
Too many people think he's a dope.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, Rags, in DuBarry Was a Lady, do you get to kiss Lucille Ball, the leading lady?
No, I don't go around kissing girls, but... Hey, maybe I am a dope.
How come this name, Rags? Where did you grab that?
Well, I used to dress like you do.
You ain't kidding, brother.
Brother, wait a minute. You two aren't brothers.
Oh, no. My brother's still living.
I haven't seen you around your old haunts for quite a spell, Rags. What you been doing?
Oh, I've been out of town for 6 months.
Oh, yeah? Doing what?
6 months.
Romeo in Joliet, huh?
Yeah.
In a can, huh? Were you happy in the pokey, Rags?
Oh, sure. Hey, we had all the coffee we wanted. And sugar, too.
Sugar, too?
Sure. My cell buddy, he used to use 8 spoons in 1 cup of coffee.
Well, why so much?
It was stir crazy.
Frank, tell him about your cell buddy. Go ahead, tell him.
Your cell buddy?
Oh, you mean Bottleneck Hogan?
Yeah, that's the guy.
truly a great criminal.
A great boy, huh?
Yeah, but he got in a jam in the jug.
What happened to old Bottleneck?
Well, the guard put a bench in the cell, and Bottleneck wanted a Morris chair. The guard said all he could have was a bench, and Bottleneck still wanted a Morris chair.
Mm-hmm.
So he got mad and killed the guard.
How'd he make up?
He got the chair.
I'm not up on this stuff. What crime did you commit?
Well, he used to hijack silk lingerie.
Yeah. I was the king of the undie world.
I bet many's the time you gave the cops the slip, huh?
Pretty good, huh? Pretty good for a guy who started life as a moron.
Yeah, that was before he was organized.
Yeah. Would you believe that until he was 25, he couldn't even sign his name on a check?
Yeah, now I can sign anybody.
He's so smart, he even fooled the judge.
Fooled the judge, how?
I made out like I was insane. I told the judge I was a fish.
Well, did he believe you were a fish?
Sure. He set me up the river and put me in a can.
Say, Mr. Ragland, didn't you have a mouthpiece at the trial?
Sure, I had a great lawyer. He made a swell speech to the jury. He said, gentlemen of the jury, look at that man's face. Look at that man's face. He said, if he's guilty, I am too.
What happened?
He got 2 years more than I did.
Well, Raggedy, now that you're out, what are you going to do?
He's going to get a war job.
Yeah, I got to. They declared crime non-essential.
If you're a musician, I know where you could get a job.
Oh, yeah, can you play any instrument?
Sure. But when I was in stir, they wouldn't let me practice in my cell.
What instrument did you play?
The musical saw.
Oh, jails, too, you know, are fighting absenteeism.
Say, Very good, thank you. What do you say, Crosby? How about a job for Mr. Ragland?
Now, don't worry about me, Yuki. I really don't need a job. I can always make money playing blackjack. I never lose.
How come you never lose?
I use my own blackjack.
Look, Rag, seriously, I'd like to help you rehabilitate yourself. Just between you and me, have you ever done anything honest?
Once. The other day, I found $500 on Hollywood Boulevard. So I put an advertisement in a newspaper before I spent it.
What newspaper?
The London Times.
He knows all about used cars, too.
Oh, he used to handle used cars, huh?
Sure. When I saw one I liked, I used it.
Boy, I wish I was a genius. You come from a whole family of them, don't you, Mr. Ragland?
Sure. Nobody in town ever held a candle to my father.
Why not?
Guess nobody ever thought of it.
Come on, Crosby. Break down and give Mr. R a helping hand.
Sounds like a good boy.
He's got a great idea. All he needs is a little capital.
And some money.
What's the grip?
He wants to start a steak easy.
A steak easy?
Yeah. Hot cold cuts.
He's holding 1,000 pounds of Argentine beef.
Right off the boat.
Yeah, I suppose I can still smell the salt water.
Well, you can smell something. It's been cut.
What do you say, Crosby? How about giving him a job?
Nah, don't beg him, Yuki.
Look,
I'm 40 years old. I've been supporting myself ever since I ran away from home.
How old were you when you ran away?
39.
Your parents must have missed you.
Not yet. Hey, you know, maybe I could get a job like a mail carrier.
Mail carrier? Oh, no, Rag. You couldn't handle that. You have to pass a very tough civil service examination to be a mail carrier.
Well, what kind of questions do they ask?
Oh, they ask all kinds of tough questions. Like, they might ask you, how far is it from the earth to the sun?
Oh, well, if that's the route they're going to give me, I don't want the job. Come on, Yuki, let's get out of here.
So much for Rags Ragland and his interesting way of life. It gives me great pleasure at this time, as an active member of the Society for the Preservation of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America, to call your attention to the Charioteers and Melancholy Baby. Thank you.
baby. Oh, you know, dear, that I'm in love with you.
Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun shines through.
How would you smile, my honey dear, while I kiss you?
We must make a point to do that a little more often. And speaking of points, here's a man. Speaking of the point.
Never die. We mustn't say
have to get it for now in the old craft music hall, friends, but next Thursday we're going to be at it again. Hope you'll be with us. Also with us next Thursday will be Rear Admiral Ralston S. Holmes of the United States Navy and our good friend Frank McHugh. That's next Thursday. Meantime, here's something that Elmer Davis's group and the OPA thought you'd like to hear. Everyone appreciates the good grace, intelligence, and understanding with which the mothers, wives, and homemakers of the United States have switched from the free and easy buy-what-you-want method of shopping to the rigid rules of rationing. Your grocers and butchers appreciate your cooperation, too, ladies. Really, it's not easy to change years of buying habits and living habits, but millions of men have done it, and their women folks are certainly backing them every inch of the way. I guess we all know that no sacrifice we make here at home can be overlooked, but we'll give them aid. Good night.